world dominated by fear and mass manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris White. This show is called Nowhere to Run. I'd like to thank everybody for being here with us tonight in this January 3rd edition of the show. I've got a great show for you, as always, and also, as always, I got a lot of corrections from my previous show. So let's go ahead and try to mop up my mess here, and then we'll get right on with the program.
I just picked up a fault in the AE-35 unit.
It wasn't lies, it was just bullshit.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
I wiped a booger on your shirt, I made a dog and a cat kiss, I swiped a bolted-down TV from a Holiday Inn, I coveted the wife in Jaws 2, I lied to a waiter, I masturbated 8 billion times, and I have no plans to stop masturbating in the future.
Woohoo! I'm clean! In your face, Lord!
Okay, I have a ton of stuff to correct from the last show. First, Project Monarch. I was saying that was the project that Kathy O'Brien was, and I said that was in, and I said that was a sex slave project, which I'm sure it was. I mean, she did come out of the Project Monarch, or her dad was involved in Project Monarch, but Project Monarch wasn't exclusively for that, as far as I understand, but I mean, it could have been. But it doesn't appear that Project Monarch was an exclusive project to develop sex slaves, but apparently they did develop them out of that project. The other corrections are, I kept referring to how the days of Noah, as referred to by Jesus in the New Testament, saying that the last days would be as the days of Noah were, and implied that, without really giving the other side of it, that he meant by that, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of man be, would be meaning like the Nephilim were in the land in the days of Noah, and after, as it says in Genesis 6, 4. And so I was saying that's what he meant by in the days of Noah, the Nephilim would be intermingling with the bloodline more, as evidenced by a few some credible sourcing of biblical material. Anyway, it's in the other show. I'm done with that. But anyhow, so I didn't put the other theory out there that, of course, the days of Noah could also mean like people were eating and drinking and giving and marrying, and they didn't know the flood was coming. So basically he was illustrating that, you know, that everything was going smoothly. Nobody knew it was coming, which is very credible too. It was just that it could be seen that way too, to somebody that was looking at it like that. I didn't mean, and I did mention that there was definitely alternatives to that, and it didn't, nothing really hinged on that. It's just that made me sound closed-minded, I think. And also, Chuck Missler, who is a guy that I really, really like, and I've discovered recently, and I'm a big fan. He's just an amazing guy. And Chuck Missler, M-I-S-S-L-E-R, I believe. He's a Bible prophecy guy, but he also, I mean, he really deals with all these crazy esoteric stuff, and it's amazing the kind of work that he and Hal Lindsey and people like him have done and have been doing for years and years and years. Anyhow, I said in one of the things I was talking about, I was referring to Revelations. It's Revelation 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty." And I was saying that Chuck Missler and others believed that the three unclean spirits were referring to different types of possible genetically modified extraterrestrial quote-unquote races, like, for instance, like the reptilians and whatnot. He did mention that, and I think he implies it, but I can't say that he believes it. I think that's kind of silly. It just jumped out at me that I was like, Chuck Missler believes that this, and but I don't know that for a fact that he believes it like that or whatever. Also, this isn't from last show, but I listened to it. I said that I was talking about how Alex Jones, and in a weird way, I was defending him, but I said that he doesn't have a sense of humor. He just like doesn't have that capacity in his brain to even be funny or see funny things. As funny, I don't know. But anyway, I got to take that back, because I have since, I don't know what I was doing, watching a documentary or something, and you know, he's just a crazy son of a bitch. He really is. He's just totally off his rocker. And he is funny. He really is. When he's trying to be funny, he does like certain things. That's what it was. I saw him like doing like a George Bush voice to somebody, like moving this George Bush puppet or something, and it's funny. Okay, he's funny, he does have a sense of humor, so I gotta take that back. Okay, I do think that's my corrections. I probably got a lot more stuff wrong on that show because I was talking my ass off and didn't really take a lot of breaths, and so yeah, I probably got a lot more stuff wrong. So email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That's chris@conspiracyclothes.com, and send me your hate mail. You can just beat up on me and tell me where I'm wrong and all kinds of stuff, and hopefully I'll be able to correct it on the air here. Okay, that's it. We're getting right into the show now.
Now, it's important to understand where the increase began so that you can understand the importance of long-term blah, 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 blah.
Look at these smiling faces.
Blah, 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 blah.
They just don't have a clue.
Blah, blah, blah.
Look at them.
Blah, 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 blah.
Don't they know that I don't know what I'm talking about? How long is it before I'm finally found out? When is someone going to expose me for the fraud that I am?
Blah, blah, blah.
There's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad.
It's a simple question of weight ratios. A 5-ounce bird could not carry a 1-pound coconut.
And for that matter, did anybody else ever wonder why the Smurfs were only supposed to be three apples high? That's what they always said. They were always three apples high, but then none of their world was ever consistent. Like, they wouldn't be three apples high because they could live in mushrooms. I mean, granted, different mushrooms could be different sizes, but then they could fit in, you know, all these different situations, like the birdcage, you know, Gargamel's house. And what was his problem with them? I mean, listen. I mean, what was the deal? Were the Smurfs eating up his garden or what? I mean, because, I mean, they seem pretty easygoing, and they, you know. I only had one chick, though. That was kind of probably a problem. Anyway, let's go ahead and start the show. All right, this week I made a rare trip to the movie theater, which is something I haven't done in a really long time. Not for any particular reason. I just, don't really care for movies that much, I guess, which is odd because I went to film school, which, you know, I guess not caring for movies that much really wasn't the best choice for higher education. Anyway, I went and saw The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon, directed by Robert De Niro. I went and saw it. If you've been listening to the show, you would know that this is pretty much everything I've been talking about, like, wrapped up in a movie, and I just kind of accidentally stumbled across it. This is a very important movie, I think. Sometimes, as everybody knows, and some, or not everybody, but the Hollywood throws us a bone every now and again with some information. I don't know why they do it sometimes, and there's probably a lot of different reasons for it, but this is one of those times, I think, with The Good Shepherd. If you know anything about because this movie is about the creation of the OSS, and which is basically the predecessor to the CIA and its jobs, and then it basically is the life of these Skull and Bones family, and that become heavily involved in the CIA. If you're reading between the lines, it's talking about the Bush family. You know, this is the story of the Bushes, you know, based on a true story, if you will. The reason it was significant was because if you do read between the lines and take out the, you know, the cheesy Hollywood storylines and such, then you are seeing that Hollywood's basically telling you that the OSS was brokering these deals with these Nazis and bringing Nazi war criminals over here and using their scientists and trading them with Russia and whatnot. It also shows you that the CIA and the OSS were all a Skull and Bones operation, and that they always have been. And as you know, people that have studied this know that the Skull and Bones calls the CIA the employer of last resort. Anyway, and then if you, obviously, we're talking about the Bushes here because, as most people know, the OSS and everybody, you know, and all the Nazi connections with Prescott Bush and his son, George Sr., who was later the head of the CIA, and on down the line, this story goes. It was a shitty movie, really, as far as, like, moving fast and doing things that you want movies to do, but it was amazing that they were saying this. Also, if I do have a critique of it, it almost seemed like but they were being a little too easy on Skull and Bones. I mean, they made it seem more like, which it probably is, like a bunch of rich frat boys, you know, kind of. It made it a little more innocent than I think that it feels like it would be to me, you know, with actual overt Satanism and whatnot, and whatever, but especially the implications of what they're doing. They also kind of alluded to these Bohemian Grove type facilities and stuff. I was really impressed, really. I knew that Robert De Niro, who had done Wag the Dog, which is was a really good movie, especially considering when it came out, you know, talking about Albania and, you know, producing this war to divert attention from the president's affinity towards, I think it was Girl Scouts or something like that. Anyway, it was a pretty big expose on that, and as this was, and I really hope people read between the lines and question that. It's like, I wonder if they're Central Intelligence, because it drops all these hints, like you know, saying that the CIA is an unchecked power and must have civilian oversight or it's doomed to run the country. And then, you know, especially when you take into account now our CIA is a military man. I mean, we appointed the guy in charge of the Central Intelligence Agency is not a civilian. I mean, that's overtly not civilian, you know, and that's all new and nobody seems to give a flying shit about it, which is just, you know, crazy. And also it drops some hints, like, it seems like the hero of the movie is a guy only seen for a little bit. He's a guy that's tortured unjustly because he is claiming to be who he really is, but they're torturing him to get him to say that who he is, what he isn't, and what he isn't, it couldn't be, and whatever. So he ends up being kind of like the voice of reason in all of it, and, you know, saying he was actually Russian and saying that, you know, that he said, I think, quote, that the Russian Empire was just paint that is on old rust, and Americans were the ones that made them seem evil because they needed them, because the military industrial complex needed them as a boogeyman or whatever. That's definitely paraphrasing, but he did say military industrial complex, which I thought was kind of odd considering its usage today and whatnot. Okay, I totally just talked a long time about a movie. And I'm glad I did, because it was a good movie, and I don't see movies anymore. I don't watch TV anymore either. I think that if people would just stop watching TV and stop drinking tap water, those two simple things, that it would just, I mean, everybody would be vastly different. The world would be vastly different, because I think those two things really just made us some really zombified, apathetic bastards. I mean, I remember, you know, watching TV and, like, knowing that if I could just turn it off, if I could find the willpower to go touch the power button, then all of a sudden everything starts becoming clear. It just takes, like, 10 seconds after you turn off the power button, it just goes dark, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I got stuff I need to do. Oh, my God. It's like, I'm late, I gotta do this. I gotta call for my damn, you know, whatever, laundry, because you gotta... I was really, really surprised at the level of the quality of life difference between watching TV and not watching TV. It's a big jump. I mean, I know that, like, Alex Jones always talks about the flicker rates and how they've been, you know, patterning these different flicker rates, and TV puts you in this very susceptible place, like lower or the equivalent of to, like, certain levels of sleep, and you're not able to have your subconscious kind of filter out some stuff before it goes directly to your subconscious, and weird fun facts about the actual effect on your, you know, neurological abilities and stuff. But so yeah, that in addition to it just sucking. I mean, you know, I notice now that if I go back to watching TV, which I haven't in a long time, it's probably been since I started Conspiracy Clothes that I haven't really watched TV. And that was good, because it started, I mean, it was like, wow, there's stuff going on in the world. I mean, it's just amazing, like, I don't know, how much you start analytically thinking about things. But what I was saying is that now that if I go back to watching TV, it seems like real harsh. Like, you know, I'm not desensitized to it yet. I have to, like, resensitize myself to the just blatant, I don't know, like, in your faceness of it. And I never thought about that before until, you know, now, like, going back, it's like, whoa, TV's hardcore. But you kind of get used to it, and it really does suck you in. I mean, but yeah, it sucks. I mean, TV sucks. I mean, there is good TV and good comedy out there, and you know, good stuff out there, I suppose. But anyway, and also I'm going to be a big advocate for quitting your job, because I quit my job maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Well, it's a long story, but why and how I was able to and all this stuff. I definitely don't have any money. Don't get that idea. But a lot of this money that you spend on a daily basis has to do with your job. Like, you got to spend money to get gas to go to your job. You got to drive there. You got to get shit on your way to the work and on the way home. And you got to eat there. And you got to do this. And you got to do that. You got to buy a new pair of, you know, whatever, because you got to work. Yeah, I mean, much of the money that you spend is revolving around your job. So if you quit your job, you're already cutting your bills, like, way down. And you know, and it's just amazing how much you can start thinking about what's going on in the world once you have time, because the way that the interest rates and stuff, they've got everybody like a family unit, like a man and a woman have to work now, because they've devalued the dollar so much that they have to work constantly to just make ends meet. And that's by design. I mean, I submit that if a person you know, they got to get up early, and their only thought is got to get to work, going to be late for work. And then they get to work, and all they're thinking about is work and the stress of work, and work sucks, work's whatever. And then, you know, driving home from work, you're in traffic, got to get home, you know. And you get home, you eat dinner, you spend a little time relaxing, doing whatever you're doing, and then you got to go to bed early because you got to get up for work and whatever. And it's a vicious cycle, you never get anything done. And if you spend the rest of your time in between there watching TV, then you're no good to anybody. Then you are living in your own prison. You will never have to go to a concentration camp. You know, you are already in your own concentration camp. And that's okay. It's for some people, and that's fine. I mean, it's just how it is, unfortunately. I don't know if the world would be a better place if people were, you know, doing things or whatever. I don't think that we're supposed to be doing what we're doing. I know that. I know this, I watched the shit out of some TV when I was little. I mean, I grew up on TV. I learned everything that I know from TV. So I can't badmouth TV because, you know, it's really made me who I am. But it was different then. And I think it was the golden age of TV. But I guess everybody will probably say that. But nowadays, I mean, even you take, I mean, the internet or whatever, you know, whatever the internet. I got everything good to say about the internet, too, as far as research. I mean, it has sped up research. I mean, people used to be like, well, I got to get in the car, go to the Library of Congress. Now I got to go do this. And now I've got to go, you know, cross the country and check some library. I mean, it has sped it up by like, you could do a year's worth of research in 5 minutes. I mean, it's that kind of difference. But I mean, at the same time, you're exposing kids to really crazy stuff at young ages. I mean, the porn factor is nuts. I mean, I remember being a pretty decent age, maybe, I don't know, 13 or something. I would have given $150,000 for a Playboy magazine. I mean, I would have done anything to get my hands on a Playboy magazine or the equivalent of it, you know? And now it's like, I mean, now it's so easy. I mean, it's too easy. I mean, I'm all for kids, you know, getting, you know, like, you know, figuring it out on their own and all that good stuff. But damn, I mean, you'd see some pretty whack stuff early on, and it's going to mess with you, especially, you know, it just being such an addictive thing. But you know, everybody's got their vice, I guess. But the I don't know, it's just crazy. All right. Well, that was a little bit of a rant it was. I'm going to go ahead and play some music and take a break here. See you on the other side. Waits for its collision now.
conveyed to repetition. Alleviate this ill condition now. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. It's a repeat.
Revere Radio Network. Tampa, the worldwide home of free speech.
This is a public service announcement.
Baylon.com is your number one site on the internet to keep you informed and up to date in this information war. With us losing more and more civil liberties each and every day, Baylon.com is a great tool to have so you can stay informed and learn how you can help topple big government. Simply go to www.phaylon.com. www.phaylon.com. You get 24/7 access to all media, your very own live stream free with your subscription, 300 plus educational videos, fast forward and rewind, pause to watch later, live news channels, all available when you subscribe to phaylon.com for just 19 cents a day. That's 19 cents a day. phaylon.com. You hate big government, so do we. phaylon.com.
The Loft has played over 600 shows in 6 years and continues to independently support their constant touring. If you miss music and you love rock and roll, then wake up to The Loft. The Loft is currently touring America, so check their official website, lovetheloft.com, or their MySpace page, myspace.com/theloft, to see if they're playing in a city near you. Support local and independent music, The Loft. Real people, real rock and roll.
Total free speech, even when it's ugly. Revere Radio Network, Tampa.
Put it there, boy, and we'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do. You may be surprised, people in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
Woo! All you fascists bound to lose.
I said,
all you fascists bound to lose.
Yes,
all you fascists bound to lose. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
There's people of every nation. Marching across the fields where a million fascists died. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose.
Yeah, okay, well, I got a big show for you. That was Woody Guthrie, and before that, there was Red Hot Chili Peppers with Throw Away Your Television. Thanks for tuning back in with us. This is the Rearview Radio Network. The show's called Nowhere to Run. I guess in this segment, I'm going to talk about vaccines a little bit. That is just nuts to me how they are poisoning us and forcing us to get poisoned by them. And it's like fluoride. It's one of those knowing things. I mean, you can trace fluoride back to the beginning and have your serious doubts to whether that was an accident. I mean, putting fluoride in your water is now slowly becoming understood to be a monumental mistake, like asbestos and lead and gasoline and what is that, DDT or whatever? I don't know. I don't really know much about that, but you know, like kind of consigned to medical blooper history. But not really. I mean, people still don't know anything about it. I mean, the science is confined it to medical blooper history, but people still are drinking it. You know, it's crazy because nobody knows about it. Anyhow, mercury in the vaccines, there's no logical explanation except for they know what it's doing. Mercury, as everyone on this planet and probably beyond knows, that mercury is extremely toxic to the body, and they're putting mercury in vaccines which are injected into the body, and that their medical reason for doing this is to preserve this precious vaccine, which, by the way, isn't cultured for that current flu virus for that year, and has all these contaminants, like up to 500 different unknown contaminants, by virtue of the way that these vaccines are cultured. As far as I understand it, I don't claim to be an expert on this. I only recently started to really understand it. But I do know that mercury is a toxic chemical that apparently will make children and other people, anybody, totally, well, I guess from what I understand, this is how it is. Kids go and get vaccinated, and kids in varying degrees have immunity to a resistance to mercury, like most human beings have a resistance to mercury at different levels, because it is in the fish and there's natural ways that we absorb mercury on very small quantities, and so our bodies are adapted to it, and you know, depending on your genetic susceptibility to it, some people can take more, some people can take less. Well, some kids are genetically disposed, apparently can't handle as much, and that is causing autism. And apparently it's like, you know, this, you know, onset autism that's like immediate onset, and it's like really common. Oh yeah, it happens usually like before they even get home from the hospital. They start having seizures like after getting their third inoculation of vaccines, you know, which is just too much mercury, and it toxifies the brain and makes the kid autistic. And apparently this is just happening in such high numbers, and you know, is probably the cause for a number of different things, like attention deficit and milder cases, you know, of mercury poisoning. And so obviously somebody blows the whistle on this and is like, hey, we shouldn't shoot our kids up with mercury. It's dangerous. And so from what I understand, they said, okay, we'll change that. And what are we doing? So they'll put saline instead of mercury as a preservative in these vaccines that don't work. But they make small lots of them available, and the hospitals don't have any of those lots. I mean, it's on special order. Like, if you want, you want the vaccine without mercury, the one that won't kill you. Well, that's on, you have to special order that. And I've heard it's up to 10 times as expensive. And in some cases that they don't really have any at all. So they just kind of said, oh, sorry about that old mercury being in there and killing people and causing autism. I mean, I don't think that they've actually admitted it causes autism. I think that probably would have made the news. But I think it's looked at logically from decent medical understanding of it. It's obvious that it's the cause of many types of autism. Obviously, not all types of autism. And it's kind of like Alzheimer's disease is getting lumped into all these different diseases, but it's getting more clear. I mean, I've heard a valid argument that mad cow disease and Alzheimer's were the same disease, and you can't really test for mad cow unless you do an autopsy, and in that autopsy actually dissect the brain itself, which is dangerous because of contamination and others. So that procedure is avoided and oftentimes never done. But apparently mad cow disease and Alzheimer's disease mimic each other very closely, which makes sense considering you cows and chickens and whatever, cows get mad cow disease when they eat, like cannibalism from what I understand, like eat themselves and getting them fed to each other. Well, that's what's happening in all these, or you know, a lot of these beef you know, factories or whatever are recycling these cows and feeding bits of them through, you know, I've heard a lot of stuff about that. So, I mean, it's possible that everybody has mad cow disease and turn it into Alzheimer's, but also another facet to the Alzheimer's is that they keep forcing these old people to go get vaccines that they don't need, and it's not even for that year. You know, take your chances with the flu, old people. Take your chances with the flu. And what about the vaccine that they give to kids, some odd 20 minutes or something out of the womb or something like that, where it's for hepatitis C, which is a disease that's sexually transmitted, and these benevolent doctors care so much about your kid's promiscuity in later life that they want to go ahead and inoculate it, even though that particular vaccine is admitted by them to be one of the most dangerous vaccines that they have. It's the law now and everything where that's so messed up that they're making it where kids have to get vaccines or they can't go to school. And technically in some states, I mean, it's the law because if you don't go to school, then you get called, the truant officer gets called and that's illegal. So, but I think a lot of the states, whereas, you know, before they had the chance to like opt out under religious reasons or whatever, I've heard bad things happening about that. Like it's actually getting to where they're going to force vaccines on people. And, you know, that's, obviously, they've been just salivating at the opportunity to have a forced vaccine to be able to administer something to every man, woman, and child in America. Imagine what they would want in that syringe. Imagine what they would be like, oh my, what can we put into this bastard? Along with all this nanotechnology and everything else. I mean, it is clear to me that they are trying to microchip everybody. And they may use the Vera chip, but, I mean, it's such probably outdated stuff. I'm sure that chip is getting used to kind of ease us into certain things, if they even have to tell us about the chip, which they might not. But, I mean, tracking is one thing, but there's no telling what that thing can do. And I think it has a very significant role in the end times, if you will. I think that it does something special. I don't know exactly what, but anyway, so yeah, that's pretty messed up, and I think that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that.
And there's a funny sound effect for you. I actually was picking up a few sound effects over the weekend, and I ran into some funny stuff I should show you. It was just, you know, different laugh tracks and things like that. But, I don't know, you could just do such funny things with these different things. Here, let me show you, like, these girls giggling here. Let me show you. Hold on. Oh, hey there, ladies. How's it going? My name's Chris. What's so funny? What are you guys laughing about, a fly? Or what, you guys like Asian or you guys like really high or?
You never smoked no shit like that before.
Yeah, and I picked up, you know, some different sound effects. Like this one's called, it's called Whoosh Smack. It's funny. It just sounds like it's something doing something funny. It's the smack. It's the whoosh, and the smack is kind of like muffled. Like it just sounds like it's hitting something funny. I don't know. Anyway, I haven't quite figured out what to do with that, but one of these days. All right, I'm gonna play some music for you guys, and I'll take a quick break and we'll get back with you here in just a second. The song I'm going to play is Guerrilla Radio from Rage Against the Machine. It's a good song. I think it's about the 2000 election and all the wonderful choices we were given in that race. We'll be right back.
taste in here. What better time than now?
You've logged on to the worldwide home of free speech, Revere Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revere Radio Network. Remember, Revere Radio Network is listener-sponsored radio. Now, it's not all about the Benjamins, but believe me, that shit helps.
To the Revere Radio Network. Revere Radio is listener-sponsored radio, so if you have $5 or $10 you can spare, it really does help the wheels keep turning. You can donate that at revereradio.net. It's really easy to do. Also, visit all the sponsors on Revere. All got great stuff. Phalon.com, America Freedom to Fascism, IP check. There's a lot of really good stuff that is being advertised over here. Conspiracy Theorist Clothing Company, and also conspiracyclothes.com. That's actually my company, and you can reach me and send me your hate mail at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That's chris@conspiracyclothes.com, and I'd love to hear from you if you've got something that you need to say. Actually, speaking of conspiracy clothes, I'm pretty excited about what's going on with all that. We got some cool changes coming up. I've got a new shirt coming out, the North American Union shirt, which I've been pretty proud of. It's going to be, I've been working on that for a while and trying to figure out the best way to do it, but I think I got it. And also, I'm going to lower the prices a little bit because, you know, they're just inflating the economy so much. I'm going to have to deflate it just to get people to still be able to buy shirts. So I'm going to lower the prices and get that new shirt out there. I'm going to also offer a free gift of pocket-sized constitutions for every order. As soon as I can get those in, I've been having so much trouble getting these constitutions in. I finally... Well, I'd ordered some a while back, and I had two different occasions where my fault once and probably my fault the second time, too. Just couldn't get them here. And then finally, now I placed an order for a whole lot of them coming up. So I'm going to give away these free pocket-sized constitutions. I think it's going to be great because, you know, it's so relevant, and it's really interesting. People should carry around a pocket-sized constitution because, you know, I mean, it really could save you some time, like if you know, let's say during some sort of martial law or something, before they have to actually declare it, you could show somebody this and be like, no man, it doesn't, it says right there. Because I think people, you know, would see that and be like, oh, you're right, it does just say that as clear as day, because it's not a hard document like the Bill of Rights, or just so delicately worded, but they're very simple too. I mean, it's not rocket science. It wasn't made to be rocket science. It was made to be easily understandable because the concept is easily understandable, and what's not understandable is what we have perverted it and outright tossed it aside, especially in favor of the global network. This North American Union is going to give away our constitution and our state's rights system, and that's just speeding down at us. I mean, it's just a big crisis away. They're going to have some crisis. And the crisis I was thinking about would be very appropriate, I would think, for them. And I say them, I don't know who they is in this instance. I would say the people that are advancing the globalization agenda would have something to gain by, like, a natural disaster like the tsunami, which I have my doubts that they didn't blow up one of those tsunami bombs up and clear that land and all those people out by setting off a bomb that created the tsunami itself. I'm not against thinking that anymore because I have no faith in these leaders as decent. I know they're not decent human beings. I mean, I have faith that they're evil to the bone, but anyway, so I was thinking maybe, you know, the disaster I was thinking, everybody talks about that super volcano in Yellowstone, and I've talked about this before, but they could blow that thing sky high and you know, put some sort of, you know, weapon, bomb underneath that, set that thing off, and create the hell out of a disaster, and then can hide behind it like, oh, look, it wasn't us this time. It was a real natural disaster that we had to implement martial law and FEMA and all this stuff because it would split the country in half and all this other stuff. It would, you know, but I don't know. The models of that thing blowing up is like pretty much a world-ending type thing. So maybe they wouldn't do something that drastic. But with the control that they have over the weather and weather modification, I mean, you know, with just seeding hurricanes at different altitudes and with this chemical that can, depending on what altitude you seed it with the chemical, you can increase it or outright diminish a hurricane's power or increase it. But I guess I'm just trying to say that you can't trust anything anymore as far as this terrorism that we're getting subjected to, and I use that term loosely. You know, it's just, you just can't trust that a hurricane was just a hurricane, or a tornado was just a tornado, or an earthquake was just an earthquake, or a tsunami was just a tsunami anymore, because, or, you know, and with HAARP, you know, what the hell are they doing with that thing? I mean, if anybody has never looked into HAARP, please go to the web. They've got a freaking website. I don't know what it is. Type in HAARP. It's HAARP with two R's. HAARP. And you'll just type it into Google. And, I mean, it's there. It's blatant. But there's some really interesting stuff about what they can do with this array. And they have ones like it across the world and probably plenty that we don't even know about and all that stuff. But, I mean, they can do this stuff, and so just don't be so sure that, you know, we're giving up our country for, you know, I don't know. I can't think of any reason to give up our country, period. But I know one thing, and that is that it's a good time to really start seeing if we can make a difference just by contacting our local officials and like try it. Once you do try it once, you'll be like, oh, that was easy, they listened and whatever. Not just your congressman, but you know, call your mayor's office if you got a problem with something, say fluoride in your water or whatever. Call your mayor, and that's what his job is. The mayor's usually there to like or the mayor's office is there to kind of mediate between, you know, what you want or whatever. I mean, call up and start pestering some people. It's what it's all about. And they're counting on you not doing that. And that's what a lot of this stuff is about, is keeping from people from doing anything like that. So, you know, give them the middle finger and do what they don't want. Because I tell you what, this is the sound that the globalists hate the most. This is their worst fear, their worst nightmare. Yeah, it's the sound of the masses being angry. I mean, it's their worst fear. They're so deathly afraid of that locust hum of the masses. I mean, they just know how powerful we are if we're united for just cause, or, you know, I mean, there's nothing that can defeat us, except they know a lot of this, and technology has improved, and they're unless you believe that there really is a group that has textbooks on how to control you and run a secret government with a secret agenda in plain view of the masses, then, you know, then if you can't, you know, that's the kind of thing that's happening right now, in my opinion. But everybody is waking up, and I pray that there is some kind of moment like in The Wizard of Oz when Toto pulls the curtain back and everybody sees the wizard just for a minute. You know, I hope that we have, before the real heavy shit hits the fan, I hope that there's a moment where everybody can see for a minute behind the veil and see that it's all fake, and maybe then some of the people that don't currently have a chance will have a chance. Just maybe some kind of mistake or something that shows everybody the truth before it gets really crazy. Because I believe, from my study of the Bible and other people's studies of the Bible mainly, that pretty soon it's going to get really strange when the restrainer goes away. Then it's going to get really, really strange. And I guess what I'm most concerned about for everybody is this deception. I kind of feel like I see what it's going to be, how this deception is going to work. Everybody can. I think everybody can see it if they were just shown it a little bit. But, you know, it scares me because it's going to be so good. It's going to be a really good backstory. And they're going to have a good backstory, the devil, I mean, because, you know, there's going to be a rapture coming up, and there's going to have to be a good explanation for that. And so I'm assuming that the explanation has tied that in there somewhere, because it's going to be pretty obvious. But maybe that is the tear. Once the rapture happens, people are going to be like, oh my God, you know, that's a reality smack in the face. But then at the same time, if there's something happening, like, you know, aliens landing on the White House lawn or whatever, and just like I heard my dad said something about last week, there was like alien spacecraft. My dad is not a conspiracy anything, doesn't know anything about that stuff. Well, he does now a little bit, but said that there was a UFO like right over O'Hare Airport in Chicago, like right downtown. It was like everybody saw it, but the media didn't report it. And I was thinking, well, you know what? I really do think that little bits and pieces of this kind of thing are showing up, kind of desensitizing the public to some kind of landing or something like that. Because, as I've said before, I think it is going to be either aliens or something in prehistory that they're going to use as proof that we were seeded here by aliens, in it, or something similar to that. But all we can do is pray for God's will to be done, because you know, it really is the best thing that you can do. And it's a good habit to get into anyway. I always do that. I always get to the end of the show without any overt preaching, but then I you know, let some sermons fly at the end. So anyway, I guess that's my cue to get out of here. And thanks everybody again for tuning in. I had a really good time. You can email me your hate mail at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That's also where you can email me any corrections of this show. I'd love to make sure I correct them in the next one. So let me know. And everybody have a good week. I'll talk to you soon.